when we had our retreat and our friends from Holy Cow were talking about how difficult change is, one suggestion was is that we have worship and everybody sit in a different seat. I came to the conclusion that it's a lot easier to move one preacher than an entire congregation. So in honor of the new year, for this morning, and to save me this trip up and down stairs, I'm preaching from here. So I hope that that will be agreeable with all of you. Sitting behind a post, you might want to adjust your position, but I think we'll be just fine. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Philippians in the third chapter, verses 4 through 12. Listen again for the word of God. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. And more than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ, my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, and not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Now that I've already, not that I've already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind, and if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we have attained. Here ends the reading. May God bless it to our understanding, and will you pray with me, please? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, let your word be rightly preached and truly heard this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. For the last several days, we've been reminded that we are coming once again to a new year, and in fact, coming into a new decade, and there's all kinds of stuff out there in the media of what has changed in the last 10 years and what we might look forward to. And of course, this is the time of year when individually we look at ourselves, take a frank look at ourselves, and think about what might need to change in the coming year. So just for fun, here's a few sample resolutions. Resolution number one, 2010, I will try to be a better husband to Marge. 2011, I will not leave Marge. 2012, I will try for a reconciliation with Marge. 17, 18, 19, 20, 20, I will try to be a better husband to Wanda. My mistake. In 2017, I will read at least 20 good books a year. In 2018, I will read at least 10 books a year. In 2019, I will read 5 books a year. In 2020, I will finish reading Harry Potter. 2017, I will get my weight down below 180. 2018, I will watch my calories until I get below 190. 2019, I will follow my new diet religiously until I get below 200. And for 2020, I will try to develop a realistic attitude toward my weight. Last but not least, 2017, I will go to church every Sunday. 2018, I will go to church as often as possible. 2019, I will set aside time each day for prayer and meditation wherever I am. For 2020, I will at least try and catch the late night preacher on TV. That's just a little bit of fun. Now, I hope that you are more successful with your personal New Year's resolutions. But the thought occurs as we move into 2020 and delve into the future, especially in a congregation that's still in an interim time, that might take more than a few resolutions for all of you to really prepare yourself for the future that's to come. So this is an apt time to consider, what's the point of all of this? And here the Apostle Paul offers us some help. Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, gives a time-honored principle that worked in 63 AD and still works today. First, if we want to make every day count, we must choose a priority. We sometimes miss the great opportunities of life because we get sidetracked. A tale is told of a talented and gifted bloodhound in England that started a hunt by chasing a full-grown male deer. During the chase, a fox crossed his path, so he now began to chase the fox. And then a rabbit crossed his hunting path, so he began to chase the rabbit. After chasing the rabbit for a while, a tiny field mouse crossed his path, and he chased the mouse to the corner of a farmer's barn. The bloodhound had begun the hunt, chasing a prize male deer for his master, and wound up barking at a tiny mouse. It's a rare human being who can do four different things at a time, no matter how we're pressured to multitask, and do them moving in different directions. Rarer still is the mixed-up group of Christians that we call a church that are able to ably serve the Lord without some sort of means for keeping the main thing the main thing. The Apostle Paul knew his number one priority in life, and he knew that it was to live his life to the honor and glory of God by preaching the gospel. And that sounds like a pretty good goal, doesn't it? And that's a goal that we could focus on if only we had fewer challenges and responsibility. And here Paul's salutation brings us up short. When Paul wrote these words, he was not riding high. In fact, we know that Paul was in prison. He had just received a report that all was not well in the church in Philippi, and his life could have been ended at any moment. And the list of Paul's difficulties go on and on and on. However, the Apostle Paul would not allow anything to cross his path that would deter him from his priority. Paul knew his life was to be lived for his master, and nothing could sidetrack that from that priority. So how did Paul manage to keep that kind of focus in the midst of such adversity? Elsewhere in Paul's writing, we read about having the mind and attitude of Jesus Christ living inside of us. This is the priority that the Apostle Paul urged to the Christians at Philippi to adopt for the living out of their faith. Cultivating the mind and attitude of Jesus Christ will enable all of us to live through this year and never forget the most important why. Here's a fun fact to know and tell. Almost 98% of the atoms in your body today were not there a year ago. In one sense, you will be more of a new person on January the 1st of 2021 than you are on January the 1st of 2020. The Bible also talks and witnesses about a God who can make all things new. Paul declares in another portions of his writing that if any person is in Christ Jesus, they are a new creation. Sure, the Bible talks a great deal about us being a new people. With so many difficulties thrown in his path, Paul had a very helpful attitude for living day to day. Thus he writes, "Forgetting what lies behind, I strain forward to what is ahead." Notice Paul says that we are to forget what lies behind. Each and every time we come before God in prayer, we have the opportunity to confess our sins, and we know we've been freed from their condemnation and power. Jesus can clean the slate, the blackboard of your life, for instance, and propel you to work for righteousness. And what is true for us individually is true for us as a congregation as well. Now is the time to let go. Forget both your sins and your successes of previous years. Let us begin this year anew with God. And if this sounds like a tall order, next time you get in your car, try this. Compare the size of your windshield to the size of your rearview mirror. That windshield is likely 50 times larger than your rearview mirror. And there's a good reason for this. It's quite simple. We are to spend 50 times as much energy and time looking forward than looking backwards. When you're driving on the highway, it is occasionally a good idea to check your rearview mirror to see what is behind you. But it is a dangerous thing to drive using only your rearview mirror. A good portion of the woes of the church as we know it in our time can be attributed to what might be called rearview driving, either glorifying or bemoaning or pining for the past. But all of this places a barrier between us and a vital future. If we live mentally and spiritually only looking backwards, we will never get started to run the good race and fight the good fight. So this year, it's time to skip that pity party and remind ourselves how blessed we are to be beloved guests at God's salvation party. As we cultivate a spirit of celebration, that will enable us to reach forward to what lies ahead and press on with persistence and progress, come what may. No matter what this year brings, Paul tells us that this new year is possible because Jesus Christ has made us each his own. I want to share a prayer with you from a book titled A Book of Uncommon Prayer. It was written for New Year's Eve, but I think it speaks well to our need as we approach the coming year. So let us be in an attitude of prayer. Eternal God, before whom we creatures of the day and children of the hours, we did not expect the sorrow that was thrust upon us. We were surprised by the turn of events that changed our lives. We look back. We remember how different life was a year ago. The slow, quiet erosion of the days has gone on, and we're not quite the same people we were, for better or for worse. We've had a whole year to grow in love or to fall out of love, to turn our hands to constructive tasks or to turn away in idleness. Now we have had a whole year, no matter what we've done or failed to do. Oh Lord, keep us from dwelling on it too much. If we've failed, help us to put our failure behind us. If we've done well, help us to be glad but not complacent. There are other hills to climb and new hopes to be realized. And we know, O God, you understand our need to look back for a while, wistfully peering at the past. But start us looking forward. We do not know what events are ahead, but we do know you are there, and for that we are grateful. To God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be glory now and forever. May all God's people say, Amen.